from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian president says Indonesia will soon achieve energy self-sufficiency with Brazil and Congo. United Nations spokesman says UN opposes violations of Syria's territorial integrity. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto said Indonesia is one of three countries in the world that can achieve energy self-sufficiency. At the handover of the list of budget implementation lists and the list of transfer allocation to regions for fiscal year 2025, as well as the launch of the electronic catalog at the State Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday, the head of state said energy self-sufficiency is also a priority of Indonesia's transformation strategy.
Mungkin hanya tiga negara di dunia yang sungguh-sungguh dalam waktu yang tidak lama lagi.
Perhaps only three countries in the world can truly be 100% energy self-sufficient in the not too distant future. And from plants that are renewable energy sources, only three countries are possible: Brazil, Congo, and Indonesia.
Merupakan sumber energi terbarukan. Hanya tiga negara kemungkinan: Brazil, Congo, Indonesia.
President Prabowo emphasized Indonesia must be good at utilizing these natural resources, especially considering that energy self-sufficiency is the government's priority in anticipating global uncertainty. The head of state noted, in addition to energy self-sufficiency, food self-sufficiency is also the government strategy to ensure food security. Still from Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, who emphasized the state budget for fiscal year 2025 is designed to maintain stability, especially in the face of uncertain geopolitical conditions. At the handover of the budget implementation list and the list of allocation of transfers to regions for fiscal year 2025, as well as the launch of an electronic catalog at the State Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday, President Prabowo explained the 2025 state budget is a continuation of the previous government and was prepared with prudence. In his remarks, the president reminded the world geopolitical condition is in a state of uncertainty and is colored by tensions due to wars and intense competition between major countries. According to the president, these conditions have resulted in uncertainty in the economic sector, and there's even a tendency for a slowdown in economic growth in major countries. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto said Indonesia has the opportunity to open a new market to the UK through the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, or CPTPP, during Business Indonesia Economic Outlook 2025 event in Jakarta on Tuesday. Airlangga Hartarto said Indonesia's proposal to join the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership coincided with the UK's joining. Minister Airlangga added, during President Prabowo's visit last November, the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership was one of the focuses of the talks.
Fair economy dan green economy ini diharapkan kita bisa ratifikasi, dan IPF ini adalah Indo-Pasifik, termasuk India, tidak termasuk China. Sebaliknya, RCEP, Regional Comprehensive Economic
Partnership. And Indonesia is also in the process of entering into the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, CPTPP, with our entry into the CPTPP, which now has 11 members, and while at the UK in December. We are opening up the Latin American market, and we are opening up the UK market. In the President's government meeting with the Prime Minister of the CPTPP and OECD, including those race.
Desember ini kita membuka pasar Amerika Latin dan kita membuka pasar Inggris. Dalam pertemuan pemerintah Pak Presiden dengan Perdana Menteri, CPTPP maupun OECD termasuk yang diangkat di dalam pembicaraan, dan Indonesia menargetkan keanggotaan OECD dalam 3-4 tahun ke depan.
Minister Airlangga added Indonesia's entry into international cooperation is to expand markets in order to increase exports. Comprehensive and progressive agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership currently consists of 11 members, namely Australia, Brunei Darussalam, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, Peru, New Zealand, Singapore, and Vietnam, plus the United Kingdom this December. Diplomat from the Directorate of Development, Economy and Environment of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Maria Kusuma Nagari, reminded Indonesia needs to continue to voice marine issues in international forums as support for global climate action. Quoting Antara State News Agency's report, in the coordination meeting on the development of ocean climate issues after COP29 UNFCCC 2024 monitored online in Jakarta on Tuesday. Maria Kusuma Nagari said, Indonesia needs to continue to voice marine issues and support for global climate action so it doesn't die. She explained joint statements with other countries could be an option for Indonesia to echo marine issues in international forums. The last national news comes from Director of Coastal and Small Island Utilization of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries of Indonesia, Muhammad Yusuf, said Indonesia, along with 127 countries participating in COP29, issued a joint statement highlighting the threat of the climate crisis to the oceans and ecosystems in it. Quoting Antara State News Agency, in the coordination meeting on the development of ocean climate issues after COP29 UNFCCC 2024 in Jakarta on Tuesday, Yusuf said, Indonesia, along with 127 friends of the ocean and climate countries, stress several things, including the importance of ocean-based mitigation and adaptation actions, ocean and climate change dialogue, as a strategic step for ecosystem protection. Now we move to the international news. The United Nations on Tuesday highlighted the troop separation agreement amid Israel's offensive against Syria, while condemning any violation of Syria's territorial integrity. In a press conference on Tuesday, United Nations Secretary General spokesman Stephanie Dujarric said, the UN opposes any violation of Syria's territorial integrity and any such attacks. He described the collapse of the 60-year-old Assad regime as a turning point for Syria.
This is a turning point for Syria. It should not be used by its neighbors to encroach on the territory of Syria. It should be used by all those in the region and beyond to support the Syrian people so they can choose their own path.
Stephane Dujarric called for a transition led by Syria itself, which is inclusive and ensures all minorities in Syria feel safe and part of the Syrian nation. On Sunday, the Israeli military imposed a close military zone in the occupied Golan Heights following the sudden fall of the Assad regime. We end the news with the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says hundreds of civilians, mostly women and children, have been killed and injured in the past 2 weeks in Syria, while hospitals are overwhelmed by the high number of casualties. The UN office said civilians have paid a heavy price after 2 weeks of conflict, with hundreds killed and injured, including a significant proportion of women and children. the organization said in a statement on Tuesday, according to data verified by local health authorities in northern western Syria, at least 75 civilians, including 28 children and 11 women, were killed as a result of the conflict that took place between November 26 and December 8. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, today's commentary highlights the largest budget allocations for education. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has highlighted that the largest allocation within the 2025 state budget, or APBN, will be directed toward the education sector, rather than defense, as is the case in many other countries such as the United States and India. This statement was made during the presentations of the Budget Implementation List, or DIPA, and the allocations of transfers to regions, or TKD, for 2025, alongside the launch of the electronic catalog at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. The President reaffirmed that Indonesia's commitment to the education sector in the 2025 state budget is unparalleled. He believes that education alongside healthcare is the key to overcoming poverty. The head of state further noted that the social protection measures such as social assistances and subsidies for the public are merely strategies or intermediary steps toward economic revival. He went on to emphasize that the 2025 allocation for education represents the largest in the nation's history. On a similar occasion, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati outlined that the total government expenditure for the 2025 state budget has been set at 2,701.4 trillion rupiahs. Of this amount, 724.3 trillion rupiah is earmarked for education, marking the highest ever expenditure for this sector within Indonesia's national budget. Fortunately, Indonesia is an archipelagic nation benefits from natural geographical defenses. Furthermore, Indonesia consistently strives to foster friendly relations with its neighboring countries, living in peaceful coexistence. This situation enables the country to focus less on military strength. In contrast, education is seen as the ultimate means for this nation to escape ignorance and poverty. Through education, individuals can break free from the cycle of poverty by securing better jobs, while also developing strong ethical character. This in turn contributes to a more harmonious and prosperous national life. It is therefore entirely fitting that the government has prioritized education over defense in the allocations of the 2025 state budget. That concludes today's commentary.
We begin today in history with December 11, 1946, when UNICEF was established. UNICEF, or the United Nations Children's Fund, was founded on December 11, 1946 by the United Nations General Assembly. Initially, the organization aimed to raise funds to help European children suffering from hunger and disease after the Second World War, providing them with food, clothing, and medicine. Since 1953, UNICEF has expanded its efforts to combat poverty, violence, disease, and discrimination against children worldwide. It operates more than 150 countries and is headquartered in New York. Moving on to December 11, 1981, about the El Mozote Massacre. El Mozote Massacre occurred on the village of El Mozote, El Salvador on December 11, 1981. More than 1,000 villagers were killed by the Salvadoran military. Reportedly, this massacre is considered the worst war crime in modern Latin American history. The Salvadoran Civil War raged in the country from 1970s and 1990s. In December 2011, the Salvadoran government formally apologized for the event. We end today in history with International Mountain Day. International Mountain Day is dedicated to preserving the natural beauty of mountains and their ecosystems. In 2002, the United Nations General Assembly declared that year as the International Year of Mountains. A year later, in 2003, the UN designated December 11 as International Mountain Day. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia and Mongolia strengthen bilateral relations. Mongolia wanted to strengthen bilateral relations with Indonesia, especially after reopening its embassy in Jakarta. This was stated by the Indonesian ambassador to China and Mongolia, Jauhari Oratmangun, after meeting with Mongolian Foreign Minister Batetsek Betmang at the Mongolian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Ulaanbaatar on Monday. According to Ambassador Jauhari, this was because Indonesia and Mongolia have a long history of cooperation since 1956. As quoted from Antara State News Agency on Tuesday, in the bilateral meeting, the two parties discussed cooperation in the economic sector, especially trade. Ambassador Jauhari said, "There were investors from Indonesia interested in the projects offered by Mongolia. Likewise, investors from Mongolia are open to investing in Indonesia." The two parties also discussed steps to increase the volume of trade between the two countries, including facilitating Indonesian products that have begun to enter the Mongolian market. According to Ambassador Jauhari, because Mongolia is located near China and Russia, it can also be useful as a gateway to the markets of the two large countries. The Mongolian government plans a high-level visit to Indonesia. Foreign Minister Batetsek Betmang expressed his desire to meet with Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono to be able to continue the good relations. In addition, both parties also agreed to continue the cooperation that had been established, such as cooperation in the socio-cultural field, including in the fields of tourism, promotion of human rights, democracy, and many others. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, the Mongolian embassy in Jakarta has been temporarily closed, and there's only an honorary consulate of Mongolia in Surabaya, East Java. Ambassador Jauhari explained, the Mongolian ambassador to Indonesia, Entafian Dasnyam, had just submitted his letter of credence to President Prabowo Subianto on November 4, 2024. That's My Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia.
Yang terjadi katakan lagu yang kuciptakan untukmu. Walau mungkin terdengar gak merdu, tapi hanya untukmu. Kita pernah bersama di sini, lalui hari penuh warna-warni. Meski tak seindah pelangi, tapi kita pernah bermimpi. Percayalah padaku, meski di gelap malam kamu tak sendirian. Dan semua bintang yang kutinggalkan temani kau sampai akhir malam.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Bunker Batu Jajar, a relic site during the Dutch colonial era that stands in a green area, namely on the banks of the Saguling Reservoir in the Manglit area, Cangkorah, Batu Jajar District, West Bandung Regency. This building is right in the middle of the green area of Saguling Reservoir area. Visitors can visit the historical site while enjoying the view of the beautiful lake that irrigates the reservoir. This tourist area offers stunning natural scenery and an unforgettable travel experience. The clear turquoise-colored water surrounded by lush green trees makes the lake an ideal spot for nature lovers and photographers. The trail also allows you to enjoy and see the diversity of local flora and fauna while feeling the cool mountain air. According to local residents, the bunker located in the Army's military area has existed since the Dutch and Japanese colonial times. The function of the bunker at a time was as a storage place for army goods such as weapons and so on. The panoramic view of Saguling Reservoir with Bandung Mountains in the background will spoil your eyes. You can also feel the sensation of traveling around Saguling Reservoir on a fishing boat by paying 15,000 to 20,000 rupiah, or 1 to 1.5 US dollar. The facilities here are also quite complete with toilets, stalls, and prayer rooms. Listener, to get to Batu Jajar Bunker, which is about 21 kilometers from the center of Bandung, it takes about 1.5 hours by car. The location is still a hidden gem, Some of the access roads are unpaved and challenging because they are dirt and rocky. The road can also be traveled by two-wheeled vehicles. However, these obstacles can be overcome because along the way to the bunker, you'll enjoy views of plantations and rice fields. The dry season is the best time to visit this excellent destination in West Bandung. There is no entrance fee for visitors who come to Batu Jajar Bunker. All the natural beauty of the lake and this exotic old bunker building can be enjoyed for free. Around the lake, there are also many trekking trails that make it easy for you to explore the natural beauty around. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Martapura, which means in Martapura. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled Adu, which means ouch, oh, or wow, depending on the context. Adu is an interjection to express surprise, pain, etc. If you want to express pain, adu means ouch. If you want to express surprise, adu means oh or wow. This conversation takes place between Chris, a gemstone seller at the Gemstone Craft Center in Martapura. Chris expressed surprise at the price of a ring decorated with an expensive sapphire stone. Let's listen to their conversations.
Berapa harga cincin batu safir ini?
3 juta rupiah. Ini safir biru asli Martapura.
Aduh, mahal sekali.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. Di Martapura, which means in Martapura. I will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after me. Aduh, mahal sekali. Aduh, mahal sekali. Which means, oh, that's very expensive. Mahal sekali. Mahal sekali. Which means very expensive. Berapa, which means how much. Harga, which means price or cost. Cincin, which means ring. Tiga, which means 3. Juta, which means million. Rupiah, which means Indonesian rupiahs. Safir biru, which means blue sapphire. Asli, which means original. Martapura, which refers to Martapura City in South Kalimantan. In the conversation, you hear the statement, Aduh, mahal sekali, which means, oh, that's very expensive. In this sentence, there is an interjection, aduh, which means oops, or ouch, or oh, which functions to express a feeling of surprise. In this sentence, the word aduh, which means oh,
is followed by an expression about something that causes surprise, namely mahal sekali. Mahal sekali, which means very expensive. The expression mahal sekali, which means very expensive, refers to the price of the blue sapphire ring, which according to Chris is very expensive. Now, let's listen to other examples of the use of interjection aduh. Aduh, which means ouch or oh, or to tell surprise expression in another sentence. Aduh, dompet saya ketinggalan. Aduh, dompet saya ketinggalan. Which means, oh my, I forgot my wallet. Aduh, saya ketinggalan pesawat. Aduh, saya ketinggalan pesawat. Which means, my, I missed my flight. Martapura is the capital of Banjar Regency in South Kalimantan province. Martapura is known as the Diamond City because it has natural resources of precious stones and is a center for precious stones craft in Indonesia. Typical precious stones come from Martapura, including diamonds, emerald, rubies, sapphires, and carnelian. Before closing, let's speak Bahasa today for more clarity. Let's listen to an example conversation once again.
Berapa harga cincin batu safir ini?
3 juta rupiah. Ini safir biru asli Martapura.
Aduh, mahal sekali.
Listeners, that was today's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Aduh. Aduh. An interjection to express surprise, pain, etc. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa.
Lepas
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a traditional song from Aceh entitled Di Babah Pintu. The song was composed by Ayah Ubid. It means in front of the door. The lyrics tell the story of a wife waiting for her husband at the door. The wife hopes her husband will come home soon. The song Di Babah Pintu also became the soundtrack of the movie Cut Nyak Din in 1988. In the movie, Cut Nyak Din waits for her husband, Tengku Ibrahim, to return home to fight against the invaders, similar to the song Di Babah Pintu. Well, listener, here is the song Di Babah Pintu by Liza Aulia.
Di babah pintu
Voice of Indonesia.